As your pastor, one thing that really bothers me is when I see you hurting. Finances, and I know some of you are going through some financial real stress right now. Family crisis, and it just turns everything upside down. Job situations. But what makes me angry is when I recognize that we find ourselves in those positions because of the choices that we've made and the lies we've listened to. I want you to understand, everybody that tells you something isn't telling you the truth. Everyone that gives you advice is not giving you good advice. If you want good advice, you've got to somehow get with those people who walk with God and follow God and can speak for Him, or get in the Word of God yourself. I want to spend the next several weeks talking about 2020 vision, and that means seeing things from God's perspective. First of all, ourselves. You are not as smart as you think you are. You're not as strong as you think you are, and you are not as capable of getting yourself out of your messes as you think you are. And how God wants to get you from where you are to where you need to be, so often we don't have a clue what His plan is. I want you to see yourself as God sees you, and then help you see the plan He has for you. And how you get yourself from where you are to where you need to be. Now, all of us who use our smartphones, although I learned a long time ago, a smartphone in the hand of a dumb person, it's not a very smart phone. But one thing I have learned is how to use my navigation app. Sometimes I get lost, but I can pull out that phone, go to it, and tell them where I want to go, and it'll give me directions. Isn't that just the coolest thing in the world? If only life was that simple. God wants to be that navigation in your life. A young boy was talking to his teacher one day after school because the teacher had been in the Air Force. And the young boy was excited because the school he attended backed up to the base. And he told the teacher, he said, "I want to be a pilot one day. I want to fly those jets I see flying overhead. I want to be the pilot." And the teacher said, "Well, that's good, but the Air Force has a lot of other great things you can do." And he said, "You may find it hard being a pilot." He said, "Well, why?" He said, "You wear glasses." And he said, "Pilots have to have perfect vision. Because a pilot has to see instrumentation. And if you've ever looked at the instrument cluster at an airplane, they're everywhere. He has to see them clearly. And then he has to see what's outside of his window clearly. If it's an enemy approaching or if he's landing the plane, he's got to have clear vision or he may be in trouble." God wants you and I to see clearly what's ahead, clearly where we are going, to see ourselves as God sees us, and to see His provision and direction in our life. All right. Now we get to today's message, God's plan for you. If only you and I would understand that God has a plan for our lives wherever we are from that point forward. We're going to delve today into the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Now let me tell you a little bit about the prophet before you go any further. If you took your Bibles and opened it up into the very center, you would probably open it up to the book of Jeremiah. He is an Old Testament prophet. He is prophesying at a time when Israel is beginning to turn away from God. And Israel is about to be disciplined by God. He is prophesying, and it is breaking his heart. He is called the weeping prophet. He is telling the people of God, because you have abandoned God, because you have chosen your own way, God is going to discipline you. And Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, is going to come in. And he's going to wipe the city out. And he's going to take so many of you captive. And as he's telling this, is breaking his heart. Because he is prophesying doom and destruction. But what's amazing in this passage, the first half of the book of Jeremiah, he deals with what's going to happen because of their rebellion against God. And remember this, rebellion against God doesn't mean that you stand there and shake a fist in God's face. Rebellion against God means that you turn away from his ways to your own way. That's what rebellion against God is. So the first half of the book, he is there and he's telling them, oh, I'm sorry to tell you this, but destruction's coming. And then in the last half of the book, he says, when the king comes, he's going to destroy everything. He's going to destroy the city of Jerusalem, the temple of God, and the walls of the city. It breaks his heart. It is a tough book to read, but right in the middle of the book, right in the center of the destruction and the gloom and the pain, God intervenes. And God says, but let me give you a promise. Right in the middle of all the bad stuff happening, God says, but I still have a plan for you. So with that, I want us to look at the Word of God, Jeremiah 29, 11, 14. He says, this is the Lord God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. So I don't know where you are today. Well, actually, some of you, I do know where you are today. But I dare say that all of us face obstacles and mountains. But I will tell you this. When the storm is the strongest, I think God is the closest. When you seem like everything is dark around you, the light of his love and of his mercy is just a call away. And that is what here the prophet is saying. Yes, you've abandoned God. Yes, he's going to discipline you. But God has not forsaken you. God has not left you. God has a plan for you. God has a plan. So with that, five simple points. The first one is this. God always has a plan. God always works. God is like a builder. He decides what he wants, and he decides how he's going to get there, and that's called a plan. God always works from a plan. The Word tells us that God does everything decently and in order. God never gets things backwards. Now, some of us, if we decide to build a house, if we're not careful, we'll get things cattywampus, and we pick up the phone and call the lumber company and said, bring the lumber out. And then the lumber gets there, and the guy who brings it out says, aren't you going to do your foundation first? Didn't think about that. That's how we mess up our life. We do what we think's a good idea, but it's not the way God wants to do it in our life. God had a plan in creation. He created our universe, then the earth, then he provided on the earth, and then he put animals there and food there, and then he said, I'll create man. Aren't you glad he didn't create us first? Wouldn't have worked very well, would it? God always has a plan. He has a plan in redemption. We find that before the foundations of the earth, Christ planned to come and have to die in our stead. God had a plan of redemption for us. Maybe what we need to be mindful of today, though, is that God has a plan for the end times. Several things have been happening that you just need to keep your mind alert to. Prophecy tells us that before Jesus comes back, Israel will be a nation again. It is. The Bible tells us when Jesus does come back, he will come to the Temple Mount, and the temple will have been built. Well, since now Jerusalem is now the capital of Israel, that is a possibility. And you know that just recently happened. Something that alarmed me of late is the Bible talks about when Jesus comes back, he comes back at the Battle of Armageddon. And if you're not careful, you think, well, God's just going to have to take and react. Oh, God's got it all planned out. But in Armageddon, he comes back to fight the enemies who've come against Israel. Iran, one of their stated purposes is the destruction of Israel. Two of the other agents that teachers of prophecy tell us that will be involved in the end time conflict are Russia and China. And guess who just had naval exercises together? Russia, China, and Iran. I'm not saying Jesus is coming this week or next week, maybe tonight, but what I'm telling you, God has a plan, and it'll not catch him by surprise when chaos reigns in the world. But I want to talk to you more tonight that God has a plan for us. Look what the text says, for I know the plans I have for you. God can be very specific with who? With everybody. Now, we think, well, how can God have a plan for millions and billions of people? Because he's God. Ginger and I had three children. We had plans for all three of them. I suspect if God had blessed us with five children, we'd have had plans for five. If he had blessed us with eight children or 10 children, Ginger and I would have gone crazy. If you and I can love our children so much that we have plans for them, and as we start to see their temperament and personality, we have specific plans for them. How much more does God have for us? You see, he is our heavenly Father. And as a father wants to see his children successful, God wants to see you and I successful in life. He wants to see us with a strong marriage, healthy children, a job that provides the needs. He has a plan. But God's plan is always messed up when you and I choose to do things our way. When sin gets involved, We break our relationship with God, and we sever His provision in our life until we come back. But here's what I want you to understand, and if you look at the text, did you catch it? For I know the, what's it say? Plans I have for you. Not singular, plural. Because here's what happens. We make a mess in our life. So God creates a new plan from where we are to where we've got to get. Have you ever been driving your car and you've got your cell phone or a navigation sequence that's guiding you and you make a wrong turn? Have you ever done that? And oftentimes it'll come back and say, recomputing, navigating, trying to figure out what you did wrong to get you where you need to be. I was with my brother and his wife one day in Greenville, South Carolina, and they were trying to get to a restaurant, and they kept making bad turns, and I declare, this navigation device had an attitude. Ever had those? Because it said things like, turn around. And I'm like, my goodness, that sounds like my wife. Wherever you are today, regardless of the mess you've made, God has a new plan. And trust me, you do make messes of your life. Does God want you in financial trouble? No. Do most of us end up in financial trouble at some point in time until we have learned not to? But God has a plan to get us out of it. Ever have marriage conflict? God has a plan to get us out. If you have hope, God has a plan. If you hope that that marriage that you're in be stronger, God has a plan for it. If you hope that your children become more respectful, God has a plan. But our problem is that, again, we don't see with 20/20 clarity. We don't see our limitations. And then we don't see God's provision. We think we can fix it, only to find out we've just thrown a monkey wrench into the whole thing. So we learned that God has the answer. God has a plan. God has the solution. All that we want to do is find it and follow it in our lives. And again, from anywhere that we are, and all of us are at a different place in our spiritual journey with Christ. There are some of you here new in your faith. God has a plan for you. He wants to grow you into the image of Christ. For those of you who have been walking with Christ for some time, God still has a plan, but it's going to look different than for the new Christian. He's going to have some challenges there and some battles for you where He's going to grow you and strengthen you and test you. God has plans for us from where we are today. All right. Move to the third point here. One of my New Year's, not resolutions, but one of my New Year hopes is that I can contextualize my sermons a little bit briefer for you, not keep you so long. Number three is simple. God always loves us. Look at what He says. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. As Jeremiah is prophesying, he is telling them how bad they've been and how bad it's going to be. Doesn't sound very promising, does it? It is breaking his heart because it sounds like God's caught them doing something bad and God's going to punish them. God doesn't punish. God disciplines because he wants us to change. And while the prophet is telling Israel, this is where you've messed up. And Israel constantly kept, you know the first thing that they did, don't you? God told Israelites, do not intermarry with the Canaanites or the people that live here, because they don't believe in me and they will turn you away from me. So some of these young Jewish guys began to spy some of these cute Canaanite girls. And you know the heart of young people. And so before you knew it, you had these courtships going on that God called unequal. You believe in me. She doesn't. There's problems coming. And then they get married. And she says to him, you know, I go to the temple with you. Now, why won't you to come to my worship with me? And they began to turn away from God. They began to seek their own way. They began to think, well, what do I want to do more than what God wants me to do? And because of that, God is saying, I'm going to discipline you because I want you to come back. All the discipline from God is that you might return to him. But my plans are not to harm you. My plans are to prosper you, to give you hope and the future. Don't you see his love? His love is abundant. If you open to the first book of the Bible, the story of Adam and Eve, we see Adam and Eve rebelled against God. God chooses to discipline them. He removes them from the garden. But there's a verse in there that you've got to catch. Remember, Adam and Eve don't have a three-piece suit or an overcoat. They're naked. And they're going out into a harsh world. And the Bible says that God made them clothing. If you're not certain, check it. It's in there. Why did God make them clothing even though he was disciplining them? Because he loved them. All throughout Israel, even though they're constantly rebelling against God and turning away from God, God's always extending his hand to them, wanting them to come back. He is patient with us even when we deserve no patience. He provides for us when we ignore it and pat ourselves on the back for his provision, rather than acknowledge that he is our source and our hope. If you ever get to thinking that your employer is the one that provides for you, you've missed the promises of God. God promises to provide for you. I don't know what employer you have, but God may be using that employer right now. But you look past that employer to God and say, God, thank you. Thank you that you provide through the school system, through the industry, through wherever it is that you are to take care of me. Thank you for your provision. It is all from him. God loves us. Just like a father and mother loves their children. And I know as a young Christian, I struggled sometimes with the fact that I thought God was kind of wanting to cramp my style a little bit. You know what I'm talking about? It seemed like when I opened the Bible, all I could find was no, no, don't, don't. Maybe it's because I was thinking, yes, yes, do, do. I don't know. But I do know this. All the commandments of God, all the rules of God, all the restrictions of God are not there to limit us. They are there to protect us. We had a family in the church suffered a death a couple of weeks ago. Her brother, who's early 30s, I think, we don't know why, he decided to cross an interstate at night. Y'all tell me, is that smart? There's even fences on the side to keep you from doing it. Are they trying to make life hard on you? Maybe the state of Texas said, let's put fences up on the highway to keep people from crossing it, make life hard for them. No. They're there to keep you from doing something stupid, like wanting to cross an interstate. He ignored the fence, crossed the interstate partway. And you can guess the rest that happened. When you ignore God's provision, when you ignore His commandments, when you ignore His principles, you're setting yourself up for failure. God knows you. He knows your heart. That's why it scares us when our teenagers start hanging out with the wrong people, because we know their propensity to sin. Wise is a parent that puts restrictions on their children, not to limit their fun, but to help them be successful and provide for them as adults. God loves us and He relentlessly pursues us. Relentlessly. That's why you can be away from God, you can be in a life of sin, rebellion against God. And maybe you come to church, or maybe it's at night and you hear that still small voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. You need to return. God still loves you. You need to get back in church. You need to get back into the Word of God. You need to get with the Lord, because God still loves you. Number four, God always disciplines us. This is a hard one here. Look at the text. For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. This is God's desire. But look at the very bottom of it. And I will bring you back from captivity. Although it is God's plans to bless you. Although it is God's plans to prosper you. When you turn away from Him, He will discipline. Hebrews 10:16. Have we got that, Chris? For the Lord disciplines those He loves. Have you been around parents lately that didn't discipline their children? How fast did you want to get away from? Love demands discipline. Love demands correction. Parents tell their children there are certain things you cannot do. You do not go outside at night alone. Are they being mean? No. They're being protective. They tell their toddler, never cross this street. Are they being mean? No, they're being protective. The parents tell their young teenage daughter or son, no, you're not going to that party. Are they being mean? No, they're being protective. God loves us enough that He disciplines us. And the idea of discipline is that it brings us back to where we need to be. Punishment relieves my stress that you did something. Discipline is given when I want you to come back, because the doors are open and I want you to turn back away from where you're at. Now, Got to clarify something here. Does God bring evil into our life because we have sinned? No. Never does. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that God cannot tempt, God cannot sin. But here's what happens, and it happened with Israel. Israel, as you know, are the descendants of Abraham. Abraham was the apple of God's eye. God had his protective hand over them. And by the way, God always has his hands over Israel. That's why they're God's time clock even today. That's why always the hot spot and the attention's in the Middle East. God had his hand of protection over Israel. He kept the foes away from them. But when they rebelled, when they left God, God removed his hand of protection. And then the enemies came in. You can have God's protective hand over you. But sometimes, when we turn away from God, he'll remove that hand and allow pain to enter our life. Did you know pain can be a good thing? Did you know that? Aren't you happy that you had a pain that sent you to the doctor? And the doctor found something. Well, I'm glad we found that. I'm going to tell you something I thought I would, as a kid, never say, never, never, never say. I appreciate the spankings my father gave me. And they were plentiful and rough. But I tell you what it did, it kept me walking the straight and narrow. Because pain is an effective deterrent. It might be the spankings I got. It might be the parent taking something away from you. Might be the parent telling you, you're not doing that. Discipline comes because we are loved. Discipline comes to bring us back to where we need to be. God loves us, God disciplines us, and it might be that some of you are suffering the discipline of God. That doesn't mean that God always allows it to come. Life sometimes is just hard, and the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And that's why when bad things happen in your life, you seek God. God, is there something I need to correct? Is this a discipline? Or am I just suffering, living in a broken world? Which one is it, Lord? But that we obediently and humbly seek him. God has plans for us. God has wonderful plans for us because he loves us. Point five, God always wants us to find him. Always wants us to find him. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. One of the things that King David tells us in the Psalms, a prayer he made to God. He said, God, don't hide your face from me. Don't hide your face from me. David had lived most of his adult life in the fellowship and the blessing of God. And now because of his sin, God's turning away from him. And he says, God, don't hide your face from me. Ever feel like God's just maybe hiding his face from you? Maybe you wonder why praying's hard, why thinking of spiritual things is hard, why thinking of God may be a little painful because God's hid his face from you. Jared and I raised three children, Kelly, Amy, Scott. Kelly and Amy took some pretty stern discipline sometimes. I remember spanking our oldest daughter one time, and I thought I'd done a good job of whooping her. And she stood there and balled her fist and looked at me and said, "That didn't hurt a bit." But our son Scott has a tender heart. I don't know if we ever spanked him. He didn't have to. If he thought you were displeased with him, that would break his heart. And that's where God is. He wants us to seek his favor, to seek him. And sometimes he does hide his face. Now, our oldest daughter, Kelly, she must have been around 3 or 4 at the time. She was a red-headed whirlwind. I took her into Kmart one day. And whenever I went to Kmart, it took a long time because I didn't get to shop. I got to chase. Ever been there? I chased that girl all over that store. And then I decided, I'm going to teach her something. So one day we went to Kmart. And as soon as we got in the door, she just kind of pulled herself free and went down an aisle, looking at the bright and the colorful and the bling. You know what I mean. So she runs down the aisle, and I'm watching her. I'm not letting her get out of my sight. Like God never lets you and I get out of his sight. But I'm watching her down this aisle and then down the next aisle, and I'm watching everywhere she goes. And then you see she stops, and she looks. She's alone. I'm not there. She's never been in Kmart alone before. It's a frightening place to a child to not be with mom or dad. But what I was standing at the end of an aisle, just keeping an eye on her. She couldn't see me. And I stayed there until I saw that change on her countenance. And she got afraid. And as soon as she saw that, and I saw the tears fixing to come, I stepped out. And she ran to me. God sometimes, because he loves you, he will withdraw himself from you. He will leave that empty void in your life where you're saying, "What's wrong?" God's wanting you to find out that you need him, and wanting you to run back to him and pursue him. See, God has plans. The prophet says that we need to call and pray. Prayer does change things. Then we need to listen to God. What is God's direction in my life? But perhaps most important here is what the prophet says: when you seek me with your whole heart. God is not impressed with mediocrity. God is not fooled. Young ladies, a boy's caught your eye. You think he's just the greatest thing in the world, and you're maybe in the school cafeteria, or you're sitting next to him or something, and oh, he's just got your heart. How would you feel when you find out he's holding hands with the girl next to him? Because we want their attention on us. God wants our attention on him. And the Lord says, then we will find him. And then he will deliver. Can't cut it short. We seek God. We find God. And God delivers. Wherever you are, whatever storm you're going through, whatever battle is raging in your life, I'll make you this promise. God is the answer. God has the solution. God has the plan. But you've got to seek him with your whole heart. You've got to find him, and then he will deliver. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking, please. if you'd say, Pastor, I am going through a storm today. May not be a big storm, but storms can get a lot worse. I'm going through a storm. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out or anything, but would you just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Oh, so many hands. So many. I know how these storms rage in your life. And I know how sometimes we're just uncertain which direction to take. Don't listen to your own advice. Guardedly consider the advice of your friends, but seek the advice from God. Because some of the storms that you're facing need a bona fide miracle. God's got to change your heart. God's got to change some circumstances in your life that only He can change. He needs to deliver you from captivity. Ever feel like you're being held captive? Some of you today, you're addicted to spending money. And you're captive to it. Your bills show it. There are some here today that you are captive to pornography. It's dominating your life. Some, you are captive to hate and pride, and you will not forgive that person. You're holding on to grudges. You are bitter against them. And you feel like your bitterness toward them, your hatred toward them, is somehow punishing them. No, it is not. It is punishing you. Father God, continue to speak to us today. Continue to guide us and direct us. Continue to help us see that You are our only hope and our only source. Help us, Father, to reject the lies we're being told and the lies we're telling ourselves, and trust You and You alone. Father, have Your way in our life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.